I thought that number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought of myself as a mighty big man. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain is too high, and the valley is too wide. And down on my knees, that's where I've learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Could do a lot on my own, and I thought I could make it all alone. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Without you holding my hand, the mountain is too high, and the valley is too wide, and down on my knees, that's where I've learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Well, I want you to remember now what we're doing in this series. We're talking about the hit parade, the best songs of all time. And we're using the book of Psalms. A lot of folks don't know that Psalms are songs. The book of Psalms in the Bible is the hymn book of the Bible. They were written, many of them, most of them, by King David. David was the sweet singer of Israel. And David wrote these psalms, and we're studying selected psalms, and we're using some hit songs of the last several years, 40 years or so ago, in order to illustrate or to contrast. And we thought those songs were really top songs, the best songs of all time, when in actuality, the Bible, the book of Psalms, are the greatest songs, the greatest tunes that were ever written and performed. And for instance, the first week we looked at a theme we called Hit the Road, Jack, and we talked about being overlooked, how it feels to be overlooked. And that was the first in the study. And we used as our text the Psalm number 8, the 8th Psalm. And yes, we used one of the great songs of yesteryear that Ray Charles sang, Hit the Road, Jack, and Don't You Come Back No More, No More. And we said that a lot of you listening could probably relate to that at some point in your life. You have felt like that. Somebody overlooked you. Now, this is what we've been doing. And the second week we talked about raindrops keep falling on my head. Now, you can imagine what song we used. You'd be right, B.J. Thomas's hit song. We thought that was one of the best ones of all time, and it was, but we've learned that Psalm 13, which talks about overcoming our problems, is even better. And we talked about problems, and all of us have problems, and we all feel like raindrops are falling on our heads from time to time. But the Psalm 13, was the text that we used to see that we can overcome those. And then the third week, the message was entitled Respect. And we looked at seven strategies for securing self-respect. A lot of folks don't have any respect for themselves. Psalm 26 is a good place to read if you're one of those people. And we used Aretha Franklin's hit, Respect. We're talking about the hit parade, the best songs of all time. And we're looking at some favorites of years ago, but we're looking at the best songs of all time. The number one hit parade, and that is from the Bible, the book of Psalms. And then we're looking at, we looked last week at a theme entitled Yesterday, and we talked about purity for yesterday, today, and forever. And we used the first psalm to illustrate that particular message. Now today, we want to talk to you about the best practices for dealing with fear. And we're going to have a song and just a little bit that will take you back a few years and will remind you of how fear can just grab onto your life and prevent you from doing the things that you know you should. Let me illustrate that by something that Bob Garfield, a journalist years ago who worked for the Washington Post, he also wrote some for the USA Today and also for the New York Times. Bob Garfield discovered something, according to the experts. Now, he's writing this tongue-in-cheek. According to the experts, here's what he said, 59 million Americans have heart disease. 53 million suffer from migraines. 25 million have osteoporosis. 16 million struggle with obesity, while 12 million have severe brain injury disorders. 3 million have cancer. That's the total of the severely sick Americans are at the point of death, a total of 543 million in a nation at that time of 300 million. You get the idea. We are bombarded with the message of fear. Be afraid. Be very afraid. That's the message. Now, one of the most paralyzing problems in all of life is fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the future. Fear of failure. Fear of rejection. Fear of spiders. Fear can immobilize us. It reminds me of the college student who got a summer job working for a construction company that built high-rise structures. Now, he was assigned to the 43rd floor to assist a welder who connected huge I-beams. He was so afraid, so scared to death of falling, and I would have been too, that he clung to the beam. Wrapping his arms and legs around it, he literally shook. Now, late in the afternoon, on his first day, the welder asked him to reach over and grab something. Seeing that the young man wouldn't let go of his embrace on the beam, he said, "Are you scared, son?" "Scared? I've been trying to tell you for the last 7 hours that I quit." Oh, my. If fear has ever taken hold of your life, then Psalm 27 is for you. We're going to read the psalm. It's got 14 verses, a little lengthier reading than we normally do, but it's a good one, and you'll appreciate it and profit from it. Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in the straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. Oh my, how many times have we turned to that psalm over the years for comfort and consolation? And so it's extremely important that we do not allow fear to overwhelm us and take control of our lives. Some of you are living that way right now. Some of you right now are so frightened of something, so scared of something, that this next song, which goes back many, many years, describes pretty much how you live most of your life. Listen. Some of you live every day with that kind of fear. So let's talk today about the best practices for dealing with fear based on Psalm 27. When you feel the sharks of fear approaching your life, the first best practice to do is practice presence. Psalm 27, 1 through 6 talks about the importance of practicing presence. Here's what it says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's Psalm 27, verse 1. Whom shall we be afraid? Notice that David doesn't say the Lord gives guidance, salvation, hope, strength. He doesn't say that. God doesn't give those things. He is those things. Is the Lord your guiding force, your hope for the future, your strength and protection? If you're relying on anything else, that thing could be gone in the snap of a finger. A day without sunshine is like night. The Lord Jesus is the only one worthy and capable of being your guide, your hope, and your strength. You can have his presence in your life right now. The Bible says there's no other name under heaven by which men must be saved, Acts 4, verse 12. Call on the name of Jesus. Invite him into the presence, into your life. Revelation 3 tells us that he stands at the door and knocks and is willing to open the door and come in and sup with us or have fellowship with us and us with him. I want you to notice how realistic David is about life. He said in verse 2 of Psalm 27, when evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies attack. Now, David understands that it's not if, but rather when these terrible things happen. That's life, folks. That's just the way life is. Like the story of a grandson looking up to his grandfather, looking into his grandfather's face one day. He said, you know how you and God are alike, Grandma? No, she said, how are we alike? You're both really old, was his reply. You know, inside every older person is a younger person asking, what on earth happened? Listen, the Word of God promises a righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from all of them. Psalm 34:19. Yes, we're going to have some troubles. People are going to hurt us. But we know that God has made promises. It's on the basis of the Lord's being the guidance, the hope, the strength that David claims. And he should be an example for us. Those things we should claim based on the Lord's word. Even then, Psalm 27:3, even then will I be confident. Go with confidence today. That's not what we teach, though, is it? When the kids leave the house in the morning, we say things like, be careful now. Look both ways. Drive carefully. We tell our kids, don't play with that stick. You could poke out someone's eye. You know, if that warning actually had merit, all the world would be full of one-eyed people, wouldn't it? When's the last time we said, take risks with confidence? I like what one father used to tell his kids just before they went out the door. He would say, now, go mad. M-A-D, make a difference. Go make a difference. He was telling them that they were God's responsibility and that they were to act like they were and to go make a difference. Go mad. When's the last time we said, take risks with confidence? If we ever did, our kids would look at us and say, who are you and what did you do with my dad? Listen, folks, when the pressure mounts, and it will, when troubles come, and they always do, the great missionary to China, Hudson Taylor, has a word for us. He wrote, it does not matter how great the pressure is. What really matters is where the pressure lies, whether it comes between you and God or whether it presses you nearer his heart. I like that. And he's absolutely, absolutely correct. If the Lord is my guide, my hope, my strength, and the pressure pushes me closer to him, then bring on the danger and the risks and the pressure. Bring it on. Because there's only one thing we need. Only one. If you could ask the Lord for one thing, what would it be? Now, some of us would ask for $1 billion, others for long life. Heard about a genie who appeared to a guy and said, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is that I can grant you 3 wishes. The bad news is your worst enemy is going to get twice as much of everything you receive. The guy thought about it and asked for a gorgeous oceanfront mansion full of windows so he could see the crashing waves from every room. You understand your enemy will get twice as nice of you, the genie responded, but granted. The second wish, I want a wife that is beautiful. Again, the genie says, you understand that your enemy's wife will be twice as beautiful for him to gaze upon. And for the third wish, the genie asked, and the man said, I'd like you to make me blind. Yes, make me blind in one eye. Tell me this. What happens if someone scares you half to death 2 times? What would you ask for if given 1 wish? David records his wish in verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. Psalm 27, verse 4. What David wanted simply was the Lord's presence in his life more than anything else. Isn't that what Jesus tells us to do? Jesus tells us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Matthew 6:33. What's so great about being in the Lord's presence, someone might ask? When the problems are pressing, you can be confident of this. Here's what's so great about it. For the day of trouble, he will keep me safe. He will hide me, set me high upon a rock. My head will be exalted. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Psalm 27:4-6. David knew that everything was found in the presence of the Lord. So that's the first thing we do. When you feel like Jaws kind of fear is getting closer and closer and closer, practice presence. Here's the second thing. Practice petition. Psalm 27, verses 7 through 12. And we're not going to read all those verses again. We're just going to highlight some of the words found in them. There's a common theme in these verses, and it is the strength of these petitions. David is giving the Lord imperatives. Listen to him. Hear my voice. Be merciful to me and answer me. Do not hide your face from me. I mean, it's like he's telling the Lord what to do, giving the Lord orders. Do not reject me or forsake me. Teach me, O Lord. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes. Now, folks, let me tell you something. David is not casual about his prayers. He's not uttering half-hearted requests. He has boldness in his petitions, almost demands. He's determined to sway God's action. When I'm coming before the Lord, I want to come with tenacity and determination, don't you? Listen to what the instruction is in prayer. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. James 5 and verse 16, and this is a literal translation of this. Now, obviously, I don't read Greek, don't speak Greek, but the literal English translation is this, in James 5:16, much strong petition of a righteous man is effective. Now, we know that as the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. But the literal translation from the Greek language is much strong petition of a righteous man is effective. Much strong petition. Jesus gave a series of parables on how we ought to pray. He finishes with the story of a friend who comes knocking on the door at midnight asking for food to give to his other friend who showed up rather unexpectedly. The man inside tells his friend to get lost, but he keeps pounding on the door, knocking at the door. The conclusion, Luke 11 verse 8, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Let me ask you, what kind of a spirit do you have? Do you have a spirit of fear, timidity? Do you have a rope for a spine? A lot of people do. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Ruth Graham wrote the following, quote, I am grateful God has not answered all my prayers. If he had, I would have married the wrong man several times. But you know, so often our prayers hold back from asking what we really want and what we really need. You know, I heard about a situation where three or four pastors were involved in a long-distance conference call. They were all praying for someone at the same time. That's a pretty good thing to do. Now that we have all these means of communication we have, we can get a lot more done. But as the prayers went up, it was, well, kind of tepid. Words like, give us strength for dealing with the disease. And give us help, Lord, for the journey. And give us more grace for dealing with the problem. And, help the family cope and give them strength. It was as if we were covering for the Lord so the Lord wouldn't be embarrassed if there was no healing. We do that sometimes, you know. Folks, listen, if the Lord chooses not to heal, and there'll be lots of times for praying for strength for the journey if that should take place. And sometimes he doesn't heal. But one pastor prayed, Lord, I want him healed. Wow. You don't have to cover for the Lord. The Lord answers yes sometimes, and sometimes he answers no. And sometimes he answers wait. Here's the point. Pray like you mean it. Pray like you believe it can happen. Get desperate before the Lord. A mother, let's call her Betty, was visiting friends in another state and made a collect call home. The five-year-old answered the collect call. The operator said, we have Betty on the line. Will you accept the charges? The little boy dropped the phone, went running to his father. He said, Dad, they've got mom and they want money. Listen, folks, David had desperation in his prayers, a holy boldness, a confidence. Can we do less? We must learn when the fears are ready to close in on us, and the jaws of fear are going to tighten on us, we must practice presence, we must practice petition, and thirdly, we must practice patience. James talks about that, but the psalmist David talks about it here in Psalm 27, 13, and 14. I'm still confident of this, he says. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. Listen, this is the instruction of God's word. Here it is. Take heart. But Pastor, I have good reason to be filled with fear. Yes, you do. But when God, in the infinite wisdom of his word, tells me to be strong and to take heart and to wait for the Lord, that is exactly what I'm going to attempt to do. I will be controlled by God's word and his spirit, not by the overwhelming fear of the situation. When I give control to fear, I'm giving control to false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. When fear controls, we never reach our potential. Did you know an impala can jump 30 feet in length and 10 feet high? But you can confine that impala with a 3-foot wall. You know why? Because it will not jump if it cannot see the place where it will land. Let me tell you something, folks. Faith calls for some risk. At SeaWorld, Shamu. Remember the name Shamu? A little grandson refused to see the show one day that featured Shamu, the killer whale. Finally, Grandpa coaxed out the reason as to why he wouldn't go. He had heard it from the kids at school. Here's what they told him. They said they choose children from the audience to feed Shamu. Wow. Well, that wasn't true, of course. But a lot of times we're held back and we're fearful for reasons just as foolish. Fear often causes us to fail to respond to something we should. It's nothing more than false evidence appearing to be real. Centuries ago, when mapmakers ran out of the known world before they ran out of parchment, they would sketch a dragon at the edge of the scroll. This was a sign to the explorer that he would be entering unknown territory at his own risk. Unfortunately, some explorers took this symbol literally and were afraid to push on to new worlds. Every one of us has a mental map of the world in our heads that contain the information we use to guide ourselves in our day-to-day encounters. And like the maps of long ago, our mental maps also have dragons on them. These represent things that, for whatever reason, we don't want to do or push beyond. Folks, we need to put the promises of God over those dragons. Will you apply God's word over those dragons today? Will you do it right now? Will you say in the words of Isaiah, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Friend, are you going to make it? Are you going to make it? Yes, you're going to make it. Be determined. Be positive. Just wait. You'll see. Be patient and dwell on the promise of God's word for your future. Those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. Those who soar on wings will be like eagles. Isaiah 40, 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? He would want me to remind you of that today. Until next Lord's Day, remember, keep looking to Jesus.